And Patrick has become a regular guest of the show. And from time to time, we like to bring in people who are involved in websites. And there is a website that happens to have a local flavor to it. And with us on the line is Ted Moran. He's with a group called Karma, C-A-R-M-A. Check them out on the web at karmachicago.com.
Stands for Chicago Area Radio Monitoring Association. And we got on this subject when we were talking, remember last week, Patrick, we were talking about how some people online were able to get some of the
911
calls.
And one guy out in San Francisco who was a radio enthusiast was able to, I guess he was notified by someone in New York, so he actually listened to 911 emergency calls on the morning of 911 and actually was able to record those. And those were the sounds that we all heard just last week. And I sat here and said, but how is that possible? And come to find out that there's this group called Karma. And one of the board members of the group Karma, which again is a Chicago group, is Ted Moran. And it's all part of this big scanner. Well, we'll just let Ted explain it to you because it's a huge organization, isn't it, Ted?
Yeah. Hi, Steve. Hi, Johnny.
Hi,
nice to be
here
again.
Nice to meet you.
And what a terrific website.
Oh, thank you very much. Fred Schabeck, one of our members, operates that, and he's done just a great job on the design and based on a lot of membership contributions, so it's a real good resource.
Now, is it true that you guys make up the largest scanner club in the country?
Right. We've had some really significant growth recently, and we now have over 500 members for the 25-year history, so we're actually the biggest club in the country right now.
Are you noticing an increase in hits on your site since the 11th, because people are more concerned about security issues?
I don't know if it's because of security issues. There has been some increase in traffic. I assume it's just because of general interest.
Yeah.
We don't really have a lot of the content, like the stuff from New York and whatnot, on the page, so we're not one of the primary targets for that type of interest.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys, your hobby is radio monitoring, but many of your members, I'm guessing, are in law enforcement, radio dispatchers.
Sure, yeah. Police officers, firefighters, dispatchers, even news reporters, some radio industry employees. And they're great resources to have because they really give you an insider's view of how it affects their work and how these systems operate, and really some unique sources in the club.
Now, are club members primarily radio license holders?
A lot of our members are amateur radio operators. Others are professionally licensed in the field, but we also have just a lot of casual hobbyists.
About how many license holders are there, say, in the Chicago area, or is it possible to know that?
Oh, gee, I really don't know. In terms of amateur radio, there's an awful lot.
Thousands and thousands.
Thousands and thousands, yes.
Yeah.
I notice you have scanner web links and web links from around the country. It's fascinating just to, I'm looking at some of this. You have out-of-state scanning links, aircraft web links, trunk tracking links. What's that?
Trunked radio, without getting too technical, is a new type of communication system, and it requires some specialized equipment. It's kind of a specialized interest. It requires some specialized equipment to listen to it, and it's a whole another facet of the hobby that's really opened up in the last few years.
You know, it's amazing, Ted, is just 10 years ago when I was doing traffic here at this radio station, and I sat in a room surrounded by scanners, my Bible was a frequency log. You know, that's how I could find out how to pick up the dispatchers from the western suburbs or whatever, and I'd have to program it in. And now you can go to the Internet, you can find these frequencies.
And the computers have really come into the hobby in a big way, not only for keeping track of frequencies, who's on first base, so to speak, but also in terms of using the radio directly with the computer to program frequencies into the radios or to analyze things like data signals that can be heard on the radio. So it's really become a marriage of Internet and computers and radios.
So programming the frequency into the computer, and Patrick, I think that's what we were talking about last week when the guy out in San Francisco was able to record with pretty good quality what he had heard on the frequency coming out of New York on the morning of 911.
You know, my question was he actually recording this from the airwaves, or was this actually a stream that he was recording off the Internet?
I just found out today what the story was behind those releases, and those were recorded locally by a guy in New York off a scanner. They actually were not 911 calls per se, but the actual radio dispatcher's traffic, the calls going out and the radio traffic back from the field. and whoever recorded them turned them into computerized sound files. I'm not sure what format, but they were then shared on the internet, and the guy in San Francisco who got it on the internet forwarded it to the news media. And I was really kind of surprised the news media played that, because there are some confidentiality issues that are involved in some of the stuff. But certainly, with an event of this magnitude and the tremendous public interest, they were very fascinating, very almost disturbing calls to hear. And I thought the media at large did a great job by only broadcasting the calls from units in the field that had survived the incident. Mm-hmm. Certainly, the families of those people who didn't make it out, that wouldn't be something that they need to hear.
Sure.
But as a dispatcher, I'll tell you, listening to that dispatcher calling just one fire engine truck tower ladder after another and getting no answer was one of the most ominous things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It was really, really very, very bleak.
Now, I'm curious. I'm on one of the pages that has links to all kinds of sites. Have some of these links been shut down? And I'll give you an example. You have a one that says, great website with real audio for airplane buffs, Chicago Approach Control. Something like that. Is that still available, or right now have they decided, we don't think so?
I'm not really aware of anyone shutting down websites. I believe some government websites have been restricted access since the events. Our links are probably, there's probably some outdated links on that page, and that's probably the problem you're having. You might have better luck with a search engine going out looking for some of that content.
Well, I think the other thing is that Bearcat has what's called the Betty Bearcat book, which is a list of frequencies around the country. So that information is pretty public knowledge. I mean, if you get yourself a Bearcat scanner, you can go buy the book, and you know it'll show you where you can find the frequencies for your local area.
There's a tremendous amount of information that's out there. Most of it's based on FCC licensing records, which are public information. The problem is that that usually does not reflect what's actually in use in our local area, and that's always been one of our goals, is determining accurate information and sharing it among the members, and trying to get really confirmed stuff as to what really is there and what isn't.
Now, as a dispatcher, you do this for a living as well as a hobby, so you may not be able to answer my question, but I'm going to lay it out there anyway. What is it when you tune into a scanner, it becomes addictive? You can't tune away. You know, the heck with reality television shows, this is reality that you're listening to.
Well, it really is, and it's just fascinating stuff. There's so many different services that you can listen to: police, fire, medical, business, media, shortwave, railroads, aeronautical, broadcast stations. There's just about anything with an antenna you can listen to, and there's usually two main interests. About half of our membership is really more content-oriented, and these may be people who want to get a greater awareness of events in the community. They may be involved with community policing. They might be wanting to avoid things like traffic snarls or hazardous areas. They may have relatives employed in public safety. They may have career interests. And scanners are also used widely by things like security agencies, volunteer organizations, even other public safety agencies for listening to each other and interoperability purposes. But then the other wide field of interest in our organization is just a technical interest of who's using what frequencies for what purposes, what types of systems, how can they be identified, and just gaining a greater understanding of communications at large.
Many years ago, when Johnny was doing traffic on the Bob Collins show, she would be up in the showcase studio, and she had a scanner there.
A Dodge scanner.
And wasn't it at the same time every day you would hear
a cell phone call
that came over on this frequency? And
every
morning
the guy was waking his wife up. Every morning, I mean, you could set your clock by it. And a lot of people don't realize, or maybe they do now realize, that you can't pick up things other than, well, legitimate discussion on scanners, right, Ted?
Right. Sounds like an interference problem, really.
Yeah.
For many years now, it's been illegal to manufacture, market, or modify radio receivers that are able to pick up cellular telephone calls. And the truth of the matter is, if you ever listen to most people's telephone calls, those are about the most boring things in the world.
Yeah.
Why did you call me? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know. But it's actually illegal to listen to those frequencies now in the United States.
What do you guys do when you get together? Like, you have a meeting on November 8th.
Right. We have meetings at area restaurants every other month. And we try to hold an informal Friday nighter at the community center on alternating months. And the restaurant's real good. We get real good food. They give us the room for free. We ask that everybody buy a lunch. And we have a roundtable discussion of frequencies. Usually people have some photocopied handouts of information. And just a good chance to get together, meet people, you know, find people from your local area, and just have a good time. In general, we try to have as much fun with the hobby as we can.
And I find it fascinating, this marriage of something that has been around as long as scanners have with the Internet.
Yeah.
Where now the two can be tied together. I just find that fascinating.
There's so many different aspects of just the Internet alone. Certainly radio clubs like us using the web as a resource for sharing information about our organizations and sharing information about the hobby. As you've noted, there are sites, I believe, www.policescanner.com,
mm-hmm.
which I think was acquired by Yahoo, actually has streaming audio from radio receivers that people have put on the web around the country. And Yahoo now lets you put, basically uses the voice chat function, and there's groups that are putting scanner audio into chat rooms live. But in addition to that, there's even some sites out there that will let you remotely control a receiver and then hear what's coming back on the audio. So you can actually operate radio receivers all over the world. And it's fascinating from our standpoint of being geographic interest.
So we could go to one of these sites and we could plug into a scanner somewhere over in London.
Right. And there, really, the technology's in its infancy, broadband being a factor, how many people can use the site at one time and exactly what you'll get back. But, yeah, you can actually tune and operate some of these radio receivers at very, very remote locations, even in Europe. Of course, they may not be speaking in a language that you'll understand, but technically it's fascinating.
I want to retire tomorrow so I can just sit at home and do this.
I'm looking forward to my retirement.
I bet you are.
When it comes to technology, I think we're living in the most fun time. There are so many things that are just... As Johnny says, you want to just retire and just play with this toy for a long time.
Absolutely.
If you have a Java-compatible browser, the site for that, one of them, dozens of sites for that, is called www.javaradio.net. And I think javaradio.com might bring it up as well. There's a radio on this network, yes, in Urbana that I've used, that works very well.
So for people who would like it, I mean, they're hearing this for the first time. Their hobby is radio monitoring, and now they can hook up with a group called Karma. They can go to karmachicago.com and get information about the club itself, as well as frequencies and newsletters and pictures and the whole shebang, as well as details on the next gathering, which is November 8th at the Woodridge Community Resource Center in Woodridge, Illinois. Right, Ted?
That's correct. All the information that's fit to print and then some. Mm-hmm. We also run a email list, which is one of the main conduits that we share information, and that's almost real time, probably 5 to 20 minute delay, depending on how the server's going, so that users can get really up-to-the-minute stuff on breaking incidents.
I'll have to sign up for the email
list.
That's
terrific, Ted. Thank you so much for your time tonight. We appreciate it. And we'll have a link to karmachicago.com on the WGN radio website
as well. And please stay in touch with us, Ted.
Absolutely. Enjoying the show tonight.
Thanks
you guys
a lot.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
That's terrific because... As you said, Patrick, I was kind of curious about how that all happened, and now interesting to find out.
Mm-hmm. But it's funny, too, how it took about a week to figure it out.
Yeah.
It, last week, I felt foolish asking, well, how did it happen? Because everybody seemed to assume, well, yeah, you just go to the computer and that stuff is there. Well, it's not quite that simple. But it's really exciting when you see that, like in the Chicago area, I'd never figure something like 40,000 or 50,000 people in the Chicago area are radio scanner enthusiasts. That's a lot of people. That's pretty incredible. So it doesn't really come as a big surprise to me that this group, Karma Chicago, is like the biggest scanner group in the country.
And I've always been fascinated with that stuff, with scanner groups and shortwave and
it's addictive.
People that do ham radios. In fact, there are some times when we go down to Florida and I've got a little Grundig radio that will pick up some of the ham radio conversations and things. And it's just a whole thing.
I like it, too, because it's easy to go to sleep with. It's good background.
That
white noise.
Right.
Well, we're going to segue. That other voice you heard is Wes Bleed. We'll get back with more of Website Wednesday night, but now back over to the newsroom. And with an update, once again, here's Wes Bleed.
All right.